to another exciting episode of Legends in the Dark, where we would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids and that dog. My name is Jay.
And I'm Leslie.
How are you doing, Leslie?
I'm doing pretty good. Not too bad. It was hot today, though. Yeah, summer. I think June finally is showing us that summer is here.
With a vengeance.
With a vengeance. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a work week.
I know, right? Any good TV shows or any relaxing things you've been doing to de-stress?
I don't know if I could call it de-stressing, but, you know, play Overwatch, so it's like... It's fun, but at the same time...
I heard you talk to my husband about it.
Yes, because he plays it also, but...
I know, he was...
He understands my frustration. He's been playing it, I guess since the game came out. I just barely started like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, but he was taking a break from it. He was playing this game where you basically are making your own space program.
Yeah,
I forgot what it's called, but it's so funny because it's so quiet. He's so concentrated on it, and I would go and I would watch him. Well, no, but I would go and watch him, like, as I'm making a cup of tea, and he would be sitting there, like, and it launches, and it's going up, and he would mess with a dial here, and he would mess with something here, and I'm just sitting there watching, like, this is so boring, but so quiet. He's not yelling. And
I can't handle games that take that kind of, like...
Concentration.
I was, like, you know, playing Overwatch, and I just get sit there, like, getting, like, a capture-the-flag kind of race against the other team type game, where it's, like, you know... And you get to a point where you're, like, we're losing, and then you find fault with every other person in your group besides yourself... Say, why the hell are we losing? Why are we not winning? Why aren't you idiots doing this and that? And you find yourself getting stressed out over this stupid game, but it's fun at the same time.
Well, and I think that's the same thing for any kind of sports. I mean, can you imagine, like, when it's football and soccer and baseball and stuff? It's like you get frustrated because you're like, oh, how can you miss that? Or why didn't you do this? Or why is there a flag? But... My whole point is, if you could have just waited until after we recorded, I'm just, like, waiting for him to start yelling at his Reinhardt.
Oh, yes, because I made the mistake of letting him know that there was double experience points between now and the 10th.
I haven't seen him moved that fast in so long. Like, he just, like, jumped up.
He jumped up, like, a second I told him, he's like, what? When? He's like, I'm just wasting all this time. Killing astronauts and stuff.
He is bad. He makes, like, he got an astronaut stuck on the moon, and he's like, okay, well, Matt Damon, don't worry, we're going to come and rescue. And then he got another team, got stuck on the moon, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to send in someone to rescue the guy who went to rescue the guy.
It's true.
So,
that's been... I need to sit down, and I need to murder pixelated characters for about 2 or 3 hours now.
Yeah, I have ideas. Like, I sometimes work out and try to de-stress, but my favorite thing, I'll be honest, I'm not just saying this for a podcast, I do love watching scary movies and scary videos, because I think it has that same adrenaline effect that I totally have to concentrate on it, and I totally forget about everything else.
That's a good one, too. Yeah, and the gym's a good one. Like, I mean, the last couple of weeks, I started going back, finally. And it's good, especially, like, because I do it right after work. It's like, I just had a crappy day at work. I'm just going to put in put on my headphones and get on the treadmill for, like, an hour.
I used to do that with swimming. Chris and I were just talking about that. I said, I want to join a gym just for when I used to live in an apartment. It had a pool, and I would leave my job, and my apartment was literally just, like, 50 feet from the pool. It was right by the office. And I would go, and I would come home, and I would get into my bathing suit, and I would just swim laps until I was so tired and hungry, and I would get up, and I would feel so much better.
Mm-hmm. Swimming's a good one.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of getting a pass just so I can go swimming, because I don't have a pool now. And the thing, though, is, I gotta remember, is sometimes it's nice to sit there and veg out, but I really gotta get up and move around, because it makes me feel... so much better, because it makes me feel like I'm actually doing something. So kudos for you to go into the gym.
Thank you. I've dropped like 6 pounds already.
That's good, because you know what? I stress eat. So when I get stressed, I eat.
We'll get into our stuff now. I'm dragging things out with my own stories. But yeah, I had to like completely change like how I do that. Like I haven't been drinking sodas or like snacking. I, you know, every once in a while I have like maybe like a little bag of chips or something like that.
Have you been giving up Starbucks?
So anyways, to get in, start getting into...
I think you're first this week, right?
The business, yes. The business at hand here. So today, Leslie, we're going to discuss about the Thunderbird.
Ooh, we're staying in the U.S.?
We're staying in the U.S., U.S. and Canada, technically. Mm. This is a mythological creature that it's in many Native American tribes' legends.
So in their folklore.
In their folklore, yes.
Okay, nice.
So I mean, there's a lot of them too. The Menominee. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I probably didn't. The Ojibwe, Winnebago, Sioux, Arapaho, Algonquian, and Shawnee tribes all share similar legends about the Thunderbird.
You know what's interesting about it's the same kind of thing with different cultures. Have the same myths. It's just like what we've discussed this again and again. The woman in white, mm-hmm. you know, the men in black. Like it seems like demons. Like every culture has somewhat same story. That's so interesting that even the Native American tribes are so similar in that way.
Yeah,
that's like it's the same story, but it's probably different in little aspects.
Funny thing is, like, there's even, the one I was looking at. I mean, I didn't go into the specifics, but. There are records of similar creatures and legends in Europe, Asia, and even Africa, too. I mean, there's just, like, they all have a similar giant bird nice. Deity that they have in their folklore, and it's pretty cool. So, Thunderbird, for those who don't know, is, as you can imagine, it's a huge bird. Huge. Like, in the legends, at least, in the mythology... The bird is said to be, like, so big that, and mighty, you know, like, strong and everything, that it can literally pick a whale up in its talons, like, nothing.
Oh, wow.
Like, as easily as a regular-sized bird can pick a snake up off the ground. Like, it just, oh, look, whale. Swoop in, grab it.
Man, that's
even in
crazy.
The legends, it said that, like, whales are, like, the favorite food of Thunderbirds. I'm like, well, it seems to be the only thing that would be big enough to be able to feed it, so...
Right?
Grubs and worms just won't do it for these guys.
Probably can't even pick them up, because if stuff is too small, they probably can't even grasp it.
Well, they would grab like a big old chunk of ground along with it, probably.
Exactly, yeah.
And they'd be like, where did it go? Also, it was said that the Thunderbirds have like very bright, colorful feathers that are... Not sure how anybody would have figured this out, but... they say that the feathers are so large that to fit it into a quiver, like if you were to put it in like a quiver, like where you get there, you would have to fold it in half. You'd have to literally fold the feather in half to even be able to fit it into a quiver. Many have claimed that the Thunderbird myths are a symbolism used to explain weather phenomena or natural weather phenomena, because they've said that the sound of the bird's wings flapping is said to be the source of thunder and lightning.
Oh, that makes sense.
In the legends, because the wings are just so huge, it's like it just literally causes storms, like while it's flying. So it's also been said that it has a dual purpose: one, be a protector, and also a punisher of those of low moral integrity. It's also said to be a creature of extreme intelligence and intrigue. Gave the reins necessary for survival for life on Earth, but also has been said to be able to destroy Earth with winds, floods, droughts, and fires caused by lightning. It's said that a Thunderbird's anger was something fearsome to behold and should be avoided at all costs.
Oh, so is that how they kind of came up with the name Thunderbird, because of what the sounds they
make? Yes, that's exactly. Like, just as its name implies, the sound that it makes when it's flying is how it got its name. There have been some of the legends that said that the Thunderbirds would give out extremely harsh punishments for wrongdoing. Entire village was turned to stone by the Thunderbird for doing whatever it is that they were doing. Say, like, you guys messed up. I'm turning your whole village to stone.
Oh, really?
So, deal with that. Now, depending on the culture that you're talking about, the Thunderbird could either be a single entity, like just one bird, or it can also be an entire tribe, peoples, because it's always been said that the Thunderbirds also occasionally would take human form. It said that they would lift their beak up, as if like you were taking off a mask, like lift it up over its head, and remove its feathers, and then boom, it would take human form. Interesting about that is it said that the Thunderbirds that took human form also occasionally married into human families and would have offspring that are said to be able to be traced back to this day.
That's really interesting.
So that people can see,
that's a kind of cool folklore. That's a little bit of, this is why it's important, because this is related to you. You could be from this family.
Legend has it your family is descended from Thunderbirds, which would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
A small group of pseudoscientists believe that Thunderbirds could have been some form of, you know, pterodactyl or other type of megafauna.
Boo! I want the spirit of the Thunderbird, not the real thing that it could be.
Yeah, true. It does seem kind of a little less cool.
I want my family to be from Thunderbirds.
I wouldn't mind being descended from pterodactyls. That'd be pretty awesome, too. Based on all that, those theories, they think the Thunderbird could be considered a cryptid instead of a mythological creature, which seems less interesting, but also cool at the same time. So, like, it's like an actual huge bird.
It could be. I mean, okay, even if it's a huge bird and becomes a cryptid, can you imagine seeing that? It'd
be awesome.
In today's, you know, because everything of Nessie and even, like, the Yeti, like, creatures that they think might have had, what's that, that squid that they haven't seen in,
the giant squid.
Yeah, eons. And it's just, it would be really interesting if there's one day people will just look up and see, like, is it a plane? Is it Superman? No, it's freaking a bird.
Yeah, that's right. Other things about, in the legends at least, also it's been said that the Thunderbirds have large pools of water on their backs, and that's the source of the rain when they come by and the rain starts. They think that's, people would say that's where the rain is from. It's from the water on their backs.
And that's why you only hear thunder when it rains?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Also, it's depending on the culture, they're said that the Thunderbirds technically have a second head or face that would be located on its abdomen. It's never quite been determined if, like, the second face is avian, so like another bird face, or, you know, something different. It's also been said that it could also possibly be, instead of a second face, like two snakes that it's carrying with it.
Oh,
which,
okay.
Also been said the snakes are the cause of the lightning, like the snakes would shoot lightning when it comes by. So it's like you get the thunder from the wings, you get lightning from the snakes. There's different variations of it.
I think they're trying to explain the lightning, and they're like, you know what? How about snakes? Yeah, that's totally why.
Like, that sounds cool. We're going to go with that. This is what we're going to tell our kids. Their kids are going to tell us and all that. The sightings, there have been sightings of, obviously not the mythological version of these birds with the two faces and the water on their back and stuff, but there have been, in recent years, sightings of gigantic birds that could fit the description of a Thunderbird, or at least a prehistoric giant bird.
That's
or
so
some
cool.
Sort of variation of giant bird, which is very cool. In Alaska, as far back as 2012, there have been multiple sightings of large birds in the area. On January 16th, this is a more recent one. So this is January 16th of 2018. A resident of Juneau, Alaska, Tabitha Bauer, witnessed a huge bird as she approached a movie theater in her community.
Oh wow!
She told the Juneau Empire that, and by the way, that's the newspaper. Not
I
like,
figured
they don't have an empire in Juneau, Alaska.
the Juneau people, like, what would you call it? Like
the Junoans?
They're just like, hey, this is our empire up here.
All hail the Juneau Empire!
It's so, actually a pretty cool newspaper. I was like expecting Gazette, Star,
Empire,
you know, the Bee.
So she saw, she told the Juno Vampire that she saw raindrops on her windshield, and as she went to turn on the wipers, she witnessed a large bird above her car with a wingspan of, in her words, at least 20 feet, or the width of the highway. So, big bird. A little bit further back, on in October of 2012, the residents of Alaskan towns in Togiak? I don't know how to pronounce that. We all know what we're talking about. And Manakotak reported sightings of a bird the size of a small otter plane.
That's crazy, because the otter planes are kind of
like... They're like those small, like those, like, a little bit larger than a private plane, right? Or something like that?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit bigger than... They're probably a little bit smaller than a Cessna.
Aren't those the ones with the little pontoons, the little watercraft?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's a bird as big
as
that.
Don't quote us on it, though.
Yeah, we don't know planes. But either way, a bird the size of a plane of any kind is...
Still.
That's a pretty damn big bird.
It's crazy, like, to think about if you're flying in one of those and you look over and you see it.
Mm-hmm. As John Boker, who was a pilot, I think he was from Manakotak, he had been a skeptic of the reports, saying, like, oh, no, whatever, it's hearsay, right?
Right.
He eventually claimed to see the bird himself, told the Anchorage Daily News, quote, "The bird is huge, really, really big. You wouldn't want to have your children out," end quote.
Oh, see, that's something, because when you're a pilot, you don't want people to think that you're seeing things up there, because that could be...
It's psychological. You shouldn't be flying anymore.
Yeah, like, what's going on with that? But if it's something saying, hey, I don't believe these reports, and all of a sudden, okay,
you're right,
that there's something up there.
I'm seeing a huge freaking bird.
Yeah, that was like that when we did the Alaskan Triangle, and I did that UFO one. It wasn't just one person saying, it wasn't just the pilot saying, I see something. It was everyone, the crew saying... yeah, there's weird stuff going on. So it's like, when there's multiple witnesses, I tend to think, wow, what is it they're seeing?
Right. So that's, I mean, these are recent days, too. This isn't like, you know,
1920, we saw a big bird. No, this is like 2018.
Yeah, people could tell the difference between a bird and a plane, I would hope.
Well, but was the 2012 one, I mean...
No, 2012...
Well, I was thinking about, like, cell phones and taking pictures, but I guess I really didn't have that big a smartphone, like, detailed pictures.
I at least had a camera phone, you know, in 2012.
I think I still have my flip phone.
Anyways, yeah, that's the Thunderbird, so judge for yourself whether a mythological protector who brings the rains or just a giant freaking bird.
I think it's one of those stories where it's a folklore story that's really fun to tell. But when you start seeing something in the sky, it's really interesting that it could be from folklore into reality. So, yeah, no, it's really interesting. I'll be honest, I love the cryptid stories. This one had the folklore aspect, but I love the cryptid stories because you just never know what's out there.
Mm-hmm. And for the people out there who would say, like, oh, but it's a giant bird, wouldn't you be able to see it flying around? It's like, well...
Assuming that he's been flying a long time and he's seen birds and he's in this remote area, so it's not like, oh, it's my first day on the job and I saw an eagle. It's probably, if it's people saying, I have no idea what that was.
Right. And just to kind of counter it, you know, it's like saying, like, okay, well, yeah, it's a giant bird. How could I have not seen it? It's like, well... Grizzly bears are pretty damn big, too. But you can't. When was the last time you saw one of those up close and personal, right? It's like,
And devil's advocate, on the other side, if it is just a really big bird that maybe, like, it's in some kind of eagle or some other flying bird.
It's a big ass.
Because I think they also have a theory that's, I forgot what the bird is, but it's from Russia. And they're saying, like, it's migrating towards the U.S. and Alaska. But it's one of those things, like, even if it's a bird that you don't recognize, you could probably look it up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I'm going to call the Ornithological Society. They'll tell me.
That's a good one. Okay,
like, so this bird had a face on its stomach. I want to know what species that is.
Dude, I was flying my plane, and these two snakes with this bird started
shooting lightning at me. And I was like, whoa.
That would be pretty cool to see, though.
That would be So where what story you got for us today, Leslie?
Well, we're actually going to go across the pond, as they say, to the Manchester Airport.
You in England.
I love England. It's where my family's from.
Well, who doesn't love England? Doctor Who, everybody.
Okay, so back to Manchester Airport. And the reason I'm talking about it is because it's reportedly that they have a terminal there that's haunted. So yes, we're going to a haunted airport, ladies and gentlemen.
One of the creepiest places in the world are airports.
I actually never thought about a haunted airport. Like, I found this because I was reading one of my... How I read different stories is I just will put haunted and think of, like, something I've been to lately. Like, Haunted Cafe. Haunted Coffee House. And I read this list of, like, 15 haunted places that you didn't think about. Or 15 places that you didn't think were haunted. And one was, like, the airport. And I'm like, I never thought of a modern airport as being haunted. I always think of, like, these old, tiny... abandoned airfields.
Or like when I did that one about the pub, the haunted pub.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of one of those, like, bars I've heard about, houses, of course, but airports. I thought that was pretty interesting. And I guess, like, when I started really looking into it, this is not the only airport. There's multiple. There's many airports. Mm-hmm. So, here we go. International Airport at Ringway, Manchester, England. And it's officially opened on June 25th, 1938. During the Second World War, it was a base for the Royal Air Force, and it was known as the RAF Ringway. The airport consists of three passenger terminals and a goods terminal. So I guess that means it's like for the cargo planes. Mm-hmm. In 1989, Diana, Princess of Wales, opened what is known today as Terminal 3. Before, the area was the barracks of the 613 RAF squadron. But I guess I was reading different accounts. And, I mean, it's like, I think there's one main account of stories. And then everyone, like, there's like multiple articles to talk about this one incident. So some people have said that Terminal 3 was abandoned and it was a barracks. And it was really, like, run down, and other people said that it was still, I mean, it wasn't workable, but they still used it, and they kind of basically reused it as this new terminal. So I'm not from the area, so I'm not quite sure, but if anyone knows more history, feel free to send it on in. Okay, so it is here where the reports of the strange and creepy things kind of happen, and these reports have been in the last 3 to 5 years. And it has to do with the employees. It is said that employees do not like working the night shift in the terminal. And if they do work, they do not wish to travel into the terminal after dark.
Hmm.
So I was thinking, like, when my husband one time got stuck in Phoenix, they basically do shut down airports. But there are people there for, like, the whole nights in case anything, I guess, emergency happens. And then there's also cleaning crews. So I think this is, like, the night shift they're talking about and the cleaning crews that are the employees who are like, yeah, if I'm in this area, I'm just going to stay in the break room. I'm not going to wander around the corridors. At least that's how I took it.
Sounds about right.
So here's the urban legend attached to it. In 1971, a former airport worker tells about how he encountered, a quote, an old man. The former worker thought the ghost could be a night watchman who died 3 years earlier. So it's one of those things. It's one of those things where that's how the legend started. Someone saw something, says, you know who that is? That's that night watchman who was shot here 3 years ago. And then that has compounded legend and ghost story all the way until today. Another worker claims to have seen a person wearing a pilot's hat walk into the toilets. Since there was no flights in or out, the worker followed the man into the restroom. When he entered, no one was there, but creepy part is, the motion sensor lights were not on. So basically, he sees someone walk into this bathroom, and he's like, there's no one, like, it probably looks like a pilot, and he has the pilot hat. There's no planes in or out right now. So what's this guy doing here? And he goes into the bathroom. and it's completely dark.
Because nobody's set it off.
Yeah, no one set it off. And from what it sounds like, this is only one way in and one way out bathrooms, not one of those where I think, like...
You mean, like, the movie theater ones, or, like...
Yeah, two exits.
Two entrances, whatever.
Yeah.
What's up with ghosts in bathrooms?
Seriously, right? This is, like, the fifth story we've had with...
Or, like, you look at the, like, the Japanese urban legends. Oh, they got
yeah.
Their ghosts are creepy. Yes.
Yeah.
Those ghosts.
You're gonna cuss.
Yes, I was.
But, yeah, no, we have to do, like, the Japanese bathroom
legends. I may do that in a future episode, because
there's there's creepy ones. But... The sensors' lights were not on. Okay. Other accounts include seeing men walking around the terminal dressed as RAF from World War II. One story has the RAF officer being an airman who was suffering from shell shock, who shot himself at what is now Terminal 3. So again, another urban legend. So people are saying, like, hey, I'm seeing, like, RAF officers. And they're like, well, did you hear about this officer who shot himself because he had this or that? And it is interesting, though, that Terminal 3 was around those barracks.
Mm.
So, these are all urban legends. Okay, other stories involve doors slamming shut, but when airport personnel investigate, no one is around, and then the lights are off. The temperatures change without explanation in parts of the terminal. And the last theory of what might be haunting the airport is a farmer who once owned the land, and he is unaware that it is a airport terminal. So people are saying, like, this old... And the other theory of the old man, instead of being the night watchman, it's this farmer. And he's basically kind of walking around the terminal, looking around me like, what the heck is this place? Where's my farm? Where's my house?
Where's my skin? Where's my bones? What the heck's going on? I could walk through walls. This is a terrible vacation.
And finally, another figure is of a barefoot man who has been reported by cleaners and late night working staff. And on occasion, a late night scream can be heard coming from the building. So here's the thing.
Just a vagrant.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think I could see something and be freaked out, like a shadow, maybe something like, whoa, was that real or not? But when I'm hearing, like, weird voices or, like, a scream, like, something like that terrifying, that's when I'm out.
Yeah.
Like,
something made that dead person scream, so
yeah,
I'm out of here.
What is that? Like, that would be weird. And if you say, well, it could be a bird, it's like, I'm in a building.
What bird sounds like a human scream?
Well, there's lots, but I don't know any in England.
I've never heard of any birds that sound... I mean, I heard birds that, you know, they can make a screeching, screaming noise, but nothing that sounds like... Here's the thing. Like, you know, because we're human beings, so we know the sounds that another person makes.
Exactly. Like, it's... I think it's one of those things where...
It's like a primal, like,
yeah,
you scream.
If anyone has ever owned dogs, and when they hear another dog bark,
mm-hmm.
and they... Like, when Chris watches something, and a dog barks on a TV show, and my dog, like, he sits up, and he turns his head, like, what was that? Is someone... And he jumps off the sofa, and goes to, like, the front door, like, someone outside? Someone's outside. And I have to tell him, no, Lebowski, it's just on the TV. Okay, let me get up, open the door, so you can investigate. Okay, now can I shut the door? But, like you said, he knows that there's another dog.
Yeah, it's like a dog hears a dog bark. They know that it's another dog. They don't sit there, they don't hear a dog bark and think that it's a possum.
Exactly.
It's like,
so if you hear a scream...
Is that a dog making that noise or a possum? I don't know. So they would say, oh, it could be a bird. Like, no.
No, we can't. It's a terrifying scream.
It's a terrifying scream of it's a death rattle.
Oh, God, that just makes me nervous. Okay, so all the little stories is hearsay, but like I said, true urban legends from this place. No one's ever been named, like, oh, I used to work there, my name is, you know, Joe Smith, and I worked there from, you know, this. It's all hearsay, it's all people writing online. So, you know, take the stories with a grain of salt.
Of our Reddit users.
But... Here's something interesting. In the Manchester Evening News, in 2011, the Halloween special, the 1031 special, has a quote from a Manchester airport spokesman saying, and there's no name for the spokesman, But he is saying, he or she is saying, quote, "We are often reminded of the myths and legends attached to some of the terminals, and many of the people who work here have had their own experiences. We've even been a part of a radio show with a psychic who assures us of the presence of spirits walking the hallways." End quote.
I'd be like, get rid of them.
Well, but it's like, it's kind of interesting that a spokesman would be like, yeah, we think it's haunted.
It's like, you tell that spirit medium to tell that farmer ghost that this isn't a farm anymore and it's 2018, buddy. You need to move on.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting about that?
Well, 2019.
I think I tend to believe, I mean, all of these ones are hearsay, and like I said, it was hard to find. But there was other airports that I might do that had interest in more accounts. But think of it this way. They don't have a reason to really advertise them as being haunted. And I guess, like, people don't want to think of airports and death because, you know, you're getting on a plane and stuff. Well, yeah. So, yeah. So, I understand why it's not hush-hush, but why it's not really, like, come look at our airport. We have haunted places. Yeah,
you don't want to draw negative attention to yourself.
Or exactly.
Your company or whatever. It's like,
but it is interesting that they had a spokesperson basically say, yeah, there's something weird here, but let's move on. So, that's the Manchester airport.
Nice.
But I guess we should take this home now.
Let's take it home. And do you have a shout-out for us today?
Yes, I do. It's my turn. My legendary listener shout-out today will go to Reno, Nevada.
Ooh.
They have just started listening because for a long time on my little map, we have 45 out of the 50 states.
Nice.
So Nevada was the newest one that just kind of popped up. Hey, so
your other five states, you need to fall in line.
I know, it's hard to know if we got all five states because Spotify doesn't tell me the states, but I'm looking at you, Alaska. We've done a couple of your stories.
I know, right? Give us some love.
Right? But,
We're never going to tell another Alaskan story ever again.
But, yeah, thank you for listening.
This has been another successful foray into the supernatural with Jay and Leslie.
Good night.